It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
What a story, Mark.
Those shows.
Could be one of those shows.
Welcome, film lovers. Hello, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast, also available on iTunes, and we have an updated blog, which you can check out at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
He will not be there tonight at midnight, but he will be there tomorrow night at midnight. Check this out. My main man, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And hanging out with us. This is... there's only been a handful of guests who have come back for 2 weeks in a row. I know...
only because you asked nicely.
Well, thank you, dear. Chris Lloyd,
yep,
who's done it. And have we had Mike Perry? Has Mike Perry had to come on and do his
Tony? I don't
know
if he's been on consecutive.
Because he's the Tony Randall of Film Sociology. Those old enough know what that means. But Beer Diva, Carrie Crow from Upland Brewery, is hanging out. I know that's not the title, but you should put that on your
card.
One
of them. It's fine. I've had many, many titles.
And I've been called many, many things.
Yeah. So. You know, Beer Diva... Beer Queen, Beer Fairy, you know, I respond
beer
to...
Beer Fairy?
Yes, someone called me Beer Fairy.
Do you bring beer in the night?
Sometimes.
I like Beer Queen because I envision six beefy guys bringing her in on a giant share like Cleopatra or Judy Tenuta.
At my old job, I used to work at Collins Fine Wines and Spirits, and I ran the beer department there. That's what my email address was. So if you emailed Beer Queen at Collins Fine Wines and Spirits, it was, yeah, that would be me.
What is your official title so people...
Business Development Manager.
See, I like Beer Queen.
I know, I know. So,
business.
Well, I'm also a certified Cicerone, which is a beer sommelier, and I'm also an adjunct faculty at Ivy Tech this semester.
Oh, I thought you were going like she's officially from Cicero, Indiana.
No,
so is my mom.
And I'm Hungarian Irish, so there. So yeah, it's as Kobe said, it's going to be one of those shows because tonight... And tomorrow night,
the return
of The Room at Landmark Cinemas, Keystone Arts. And this is part of their midnight movie series, which they do in the summer and they do in the fall.
And we thank them for bringing it back because it's righteous.
And we are like 98% of college men
stoked.
Let's pull up the website.
That was good. We didn't plan that.
No,
either.
We didn't. But I know they're showing The Room this weekend. And by the way, as a special bonus, as if going to see The Room at midnight was not enough, but yours truly will be emceeing the event this evening. That's right. I'm emceeing a movie screening. Why not? It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope to see you guys in the Indie Lounge before heading over. But I know this weekend is The Room. Next weekend is the Indianapolis premiere of VHS. You have the page up, right? I don't remember
here,
everything after
okay,
that.
Hang on.
I know what films, I just don't know what order. So
yeah.
Are you?
I'm looking. Hang on.
So once again, tonight at The Room, I'll be emceeing. You can listen for Kobe's voice tomorrow night at The Room. He'll be behind making snarky comments at the guy doing the intro because it won't be me. Because I'm emceeing a concert in Richmond, Indiana tomorrow as part of their Oktoberfest. Dragonfly. always good. They know as soon as I come in, that's what they do. So, but I know they're showing VHS. I know they're also showing Troll 2, Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm.
I think the series wraps up with Troll 2.
It does wrap up with Troll 2, but we don't have the exact dates, which you were trying to get to right now.
Trying to find those.
I should have written this.
For some reason, when I was in
grade
school and middle school, Beetlejuice was repeatedly played on Comedy Central, so I have not seen it since I was in grade school. I'm really looking forward
my
to
my daughter. It was great. And this really shouldn't be a surprise. The kids film correspondent, Emma Soce, not only loves Beetlejuice, but wants me to take her to the midnight screening
you
of Beetlejuice.
You should.
Must talk to sitcom wife, real life wife about that. So, all right, so what do we got? We have VHS next week,
The Room this weekend. Battle Royale, the 12th and 13th.
And if you watch that, you can be douchier to to fans of the Hunger Games.
Beetlejuice on the 19th and 20th. And Troll 2, rounding out the series, 26, 27.
I know I'm definitely there for Troll 2.
And I've not seen this, but I know this is another one of those, my God, it's so good.
There's a documentary called Best Worst Movie, which I guess you can watch before or afterwards. So, but that means, of course, yes, ladies and gentlemen, if The Room is coming to Central Indiana for any reason whatsoever, it's a blatant excuse for me to play my epic interview with Tommy Wiseau, which we'll get to in a little bit. We still need to talk about what's new in theaters. I know you were geared up and ready to go.
I was.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kobe Slagle had buttons pushed. He was raring. He was ready. But I threw a curve at him, and he's ready to bounce. Along.
That's what I do.
Or at. So, okay. Also, let's talk about what's movie opening in theaters right now. We have Pitch Perfect for you fans of Anna Kendrick, as people have been calling it. It's the Step Up meets Glee. Sure. Hotel Transylvania, which, of course, the kids' film correspondent wants to see because it features the voices of Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg, because apparently them working together this summer wasn't enough. Selena Gomez, Kevin James, he must play a character who's fat and falls down and goes boom. Oh, no, that's his next film. Fran Drescher in anime. There you go. Steve Buscemi, Molly Shannon, David Spade, and they're all in a movie together. And Won't Back Down, which has Viola Davis, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Rosie Perez, Holly Hunter, and that's the, parents and teachers are good, school system bad. And but we're going to talk quickly about Looper, which is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, Jeff Daniels, Paul Dano. It's directed by Rian Johnson. I hope it's Ryan because it's R-I-A-N, and you're being a pain in the butt if you're spelling your name differently. But Johnson and Levitt worked together on Johnson's first film, the really cool high school noir film Brick. And this one, it's, I think the audio explains it.
So you're me in 30 years.
So I stared into your eyes. It's too strange.
And your face looks backwards. Do you know what's gonna happen? You done all this already, as me?
I don't want to talk about time travel.
We both know how this has to go down. So why don't you do what old men do? And die.
Why don't you just take your little gun out from between your legs and do it, boy?
In the future, time travel is outlawed, used only in secret by the largest criminal organizations. When they need someone gone, and they want to erase any trace of the target ever existing, they use specialized assassins like me. Called Loopers.
You're a looper.
You know what we do? And the only rule is never let your target escape, even if your target is you. This is not a good thing. My boss will be searching for me until he finds me.
Sweep the streets, get on it.
I'm gonna fix this! I'm gonna fight him! I'm gonna kill him!
Hunt them down.
But every second that passes is bad.
What's he gonna do?
I'm gonna save your life.
My life! Your life!
I know you're not lying when you say you're gonna kill this guy.
Not quite Inception.
Nope.
Music-wise, not quite Hans Zimmer. Okay. So the gist of it is Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing the younger version of Bruce Willis, or vice versa, and Levitt has to kill his older self in order to maintain mankind. Sure. Because it's set in... Now, the thing I liked about the film is it's supposed to be set in the future, but there's nothing that's changed in farmland whatsoever. And I wish all farm girls looked like Emily Blunt. But in the futuristic world, there is this kind of Blade Runner-y, let's take old cars and throw some stuff on it so it looks sort of older. And, you know, it was, as we found out, shot in Louisiana and in Shanghai. And that will play a little later on in the story. Now, Carrie was asking off the air, and a lot of people were asked, what is up with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face in this film? Well, he's playing young Bruce Willis. Yeah. So, and this is kind of right up there with Josh Brolin playing young Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black 3. So because I wrote that Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks like the love child of Bruce Willis and Kirk Cameron.
Yes. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So that's the
that.
Other, because
yeah.
You're like, yeah. It's not quite, but he's got the Bruce Willis half whisper, yeah. You know, that Bruce does in the serious thrillers.
It really just looks like he got a bee sting on his face, like around his lips or something.
And I think his eyebrows are clipped.
Okay.
I think, but he's trying to be Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a wine cooler commercial and really tight jeans and hair from the 80s. Because as we all know, Cobe. 80s.
Different time.
So, and as there's the less you think about this film, the easier it is to go with it. I mean, there's a line in the trailer, and it's very funny, where the Bruce Willis character says, let's just stop talking about time travel, because otherwise we're going to be here for 6 hours. And what was fun is there is the climax of the film had a lot of people talking. People were just trying to break it down on how this ending could actually possibly happen. Relax, folks. You know, it's a well-paced, fairly violent, really good kid performance. Little kid who plays Emily Blunt's son, and he has something. There's a little Terminator in here as well, as far as seeking your destiny and all this stuff. Really enjoyed Jeff Daniels, who plays the guy from the future, who basically is the mob boss around, and he's disheveled, and he has, you know, facial hair, not nearly as huge as mine. But just not a likely choice, which makes him the perfect choice as this guy. So, a little run and gunning and some shooting and some intense Hans Zimmer-y type music a little bit. And Emily Blunt is a farm girl with a gun. So that's a good evening at the movies.
Now that was a good movie.
It was. So, okay. I think I'm just going to go through quickly what's on DVD this week. Apparently one of the most important movies in the history of cinema came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I'll give you a hint. You could hear on Tuesday, you could feel the breeze from all of the basement doors flying open. That's right. The Avengers and because I make fun of people who are superheroes and they're in the basement.
Hey, I like comic books and Star Wars.
I've got
Star Wars figures at home. So
what?
When did comic books become wildly popular again?
I've always liked comic books.
See, okay, there
so
we go. There it is. I've always liked books.
I've been getting them since I was probably eight.
I would say Frank Miller's Dark Knight. That's when it became graphic novels.
Oh.
They're not comics.
I have almost all of the X-Files comic books at
home.
The
X-Files?
Yeah, the X-Files had a series of comic books.
When
I was in college,
Agent Scully centerfold I should find out about?
I don't think so. I have to check them out. They're still in boxes at home. I'm missing like two. But then after college, I really got into them a lot more. So
you're a valuable commodity. You know that, Carrie?
I'm a girl who loves beer and comic books and sci-fi.
Yes.
And,
can you quote Kevin Smith? You're the perfect woman.
I'm really bad about quotes.
Don't quote Kevin Smith on the show. We can't.
What's your knowledge of the Rush Library?
Nothing.
Okay. Fair Sweet Bianca's gonna come and hit you now.
I'm married. It's okay. Don't worry.
So it's all right. So am I. He's Kobe. Also new on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Resident Evil Damnation.
Nope.
Moving on. The documentary, speaking of which, I think I got to see this on cable, so you would like it. Freddie Mercury, The Great Pretender, about Mercury the Man. And yes, I don't know if Sacha Baron Cohen's playing him in the biopic. There's a poster, a trailer, I don't care. Damsels in Distress, which I wasn't all that crazy about. And the title, of course, sometimes titles just come out and grab you. Strippers versus Werewolves. Probably not being shown at Upland on Sunday. Yeah. All right.
How do they fight?
There's one way of finding out, sir. Okay. On Blu-ray, Bond 50. all 22 films because on Blu-ray.
Oh.
I have no idea how much. And also, wait a minute. Oh, these are upstairs bedroom doors flying open. That would be my room. I have no idea how much that is. I know it's expensive as hell. MGM, help me. Or Sony. Also, this is good because it's an election year. The American President is out on Blu-ray, as is Dave. So you can see Ving Rhames with hair. The Criterion Collection, the black comedy Eating Raoul with Paul Bartel, who's starred and directed in that. The 1980 slasher movie Maniac, the Zombie and Zombie 2 double feature for you Italian zombie fans out there. Arachnophobia, speaking of Jeff Daniels.
Nope.
You're not going to watch. Oh, that's right. Nope. It's freaky.
Okay, now.
Fear spiders. Hi, Pete. There's a guy next door just waving to us, and we're on the radio.
Yep.
How's it going?
That's
what happens when we're doing live radio.
That's
so
good.
What do you? No, you're not going to watch Arachnophobia.
No, I'm not. But going back to the Bond thing, looking at the.
Is it in a ridiculous case like Harry Potter?
No, but I was getting the Bond thing only $150, whereas Potter.
That's not bad.
Whereas the Potter Wizards collection in the fancy box with all the stuff, $350. And we have yet to hear from anybody who purchased the Wizard's Chest.
There you go. You can't pledge
to pay
it.
Yeah, I didn't. I do have the whole collection when it came out on Blu-ray, but I didn't get the fancy version.
That's
so I'm not going to do that.
No, you got to get a triple Dragonfly in order to get that money. And then another title, which I've actually seen on television, 1971, Dracula versus Frankenstein. There you go. All right. Cobe, I think it's time.
Yeah.
It's playing tonight at midnight, tomorrow night at midnight, The Room, written, produced, directed, and starring the man who I talked to last year, February of 2011. If Fresh Air can repeat interviews with people from The Wire and The Muppets and what about Mad Men? I know there's other repeat shows that she will play to death. Well, Film Sociology has this. Joining me on Film Sociology is auteur, because you are a man of many skills, Tommy Wiseau. How are you, Tommy?
Hi, how you doing, Miles? You?
Doing great. Now, this is going to be your second appearance, if I remember correctly, at IU for The Room. How was it the last time you were in town?
Oh, we have such a groovy time that they decided to invite us again, and I'm thrilled. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all the fans there, and hopefully we'll have a groovy time, and everybody's invited.
Well, we will be there as best we can.
Sure.
So, how did you get interested in cinema?
Well, that was a long time ago, believe it or not.
Are you okay?
I am okay. My phone is ringing right now. I apologize.
That's okay. I thought it was a submarine for just a minute.
No problem. You have a great sense of humor. I like that.
Thank you.
To respond to your question, I used to want to sing, believe it or not, and some people actually, I can sing, but never mind about that. Film has always was in my heart, was in the sense and always would be, because image, people remember, etc. Through all these years, I studied psychology, and this relates to, to how you can connect to people. It's a lot of stuff. We probably don't have the time. But just to briefly to tell you, my first movie actually was The Robbery Doesn't Pay. It's just a short movie I did for class. And I can tell you one thing. I got that A-. You know why it's minus?
Why is that?
Because I use a black and white and colors, and a lot of people ask me, why you use these colors? Like, why is not only one color? And I said, you know what? The reason for it is because of the, I want people to provoke people. And you see, The Room, it's the same thing. If you really translate my vision a long time ago about movies, what I see now. And again, I have a great respect for, this is just a little off from your question, but for everyone who produced the movie, because, it is what it is. It's this very difficult art where you make a big effort, and I always say you have to be detail-oriented to accomplish something. And as you probably guys know, that some people already know, it's a lot misleading about The Room, about production, etc., online, and hopefully people in a few days will ask me direct questions if they will attend the screening. So move on, next question.
Okay, well, I was saying, to jump on what you said, yeah, regardless of what people think about whether something is good or something is bad, making a movie is really damn hard. And
It is.
The fact that you know, not only wrote and directed and acted, especially in the case with The Room, I mean, it is a task to organize and get everything that, not only from a technical aspect of getting everything that you need, you know, but making sure everything is smooth on the set. How are you on the set when it comes to a director? What kind of atmosphere do you have?
I love a set, you know, but if you're, you know, I always say the set is my house, actually, the theater. I mean, if you refer to The Room, it's supposed to be a play. I don't know if you know that. I don't want to repeat myself because it'll be boring, but just really very quickly background of The Room. Supposed to be played first, and then I decided to, you know, write a script, etc., because of my 600 pages novel, which hopefully somebody want to publish right now, but we're working on it.
It's a 600 page novel this is based on?
Correct.
Wow.
And that was, keep in mind, again, since I'm talking to you, like I say, we don't have too much time, but very quickly. See, people don't realize this nothing happened by accident. You know, like people say, oh, this accident, that accident. For example, I'm talking as the director right now, I can create a certain ambience and I can anticipate something, but I have to plan. Without planning, you don't have it. And I don't care what you, if you, for example, doesn't lead me to, again, to your first question about production. You know, if I don't care if you do 5 minutes movie or a feature movie, guess what? Irony of a story is, for all of you guys to listen now right now, that is the same thing. The difference is you spend more money or you make it. You know, you involve more people, but you need the beginning, you need the middle, you need the end. I rest my case. But The Room is based on a 600 novel, over actually 600. So people will be surprised. And I noticed, I don't know, Matthew, if you noticed in the past few years, people actually grasp what was creating. And again, I'm thrilled to say that I'm happy with the fans and great support. And you know, sometimes we do have a bad apple, but you know what? I just accept whatever people, you know, have comments about The Room. And again, I don't always say you have to. Actually, my motto is that if a lot of people love each other, the world will be a better place to live. By this talking from The Room, you see, it doesn't matter that. You don't have to write like The Room. And I want to stress that because a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, you have, no, you don't. You see, that's the difference between me as a director, as an actor, you as the audience as well, the listener, that you have choice. And that's what The Room is. And I think maybe that's the reason. I didn't conclude 100%, Matthew, but I'll tell you one thing, that maybe that's the reason is that we have great support right now with people because they do see my vision and directly, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they'll, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't like this. Well, that's fine. It's nothing wrong. Same with me, you know. If I, for example, see some movie, which I don't even ask me for a name, I may drop a couple of names. Maybe.
Okay.
But if I see a movie, it doesn't mean that I have to like all of it. You know, like just a segment of it, etc. Move on, next question.
Is the book published or will it be published?
No. Right now, currently, actually, I'm working with one publisher, very big guy, actually, one of the biggest publishing companies. I don't know what will happen. It's up to them, you know. Again, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to bashing anyone. That's not my motto, you know.
Okay. Yes.
I was beat up, you know. People beat me up many times. But true fans of The Room, like in your school, you know, I'm like, I love you guys. Let me tell you this way, you know.
We're
ready, ready for pictures, and we'll have a groovy time. Move on, next question.
Where did the source for the inspiration for The Room begin? Hopefully it's not autobiographical.
Well, let me tell you, this is from life. You see, we all have, I don't know, you have opportunity to see several times the movie or not, but mm-hmm. The fact is that it's from life, relationships, you know, drugs issues, Just recently, I believe on CNN, I have an interview with Greg, and I say very publicly, I would say right now too, you know, between 12 and 2 in America, you have number of crime committed is very high. You may laugh with my statement, but guess what? I studied this, and this is the statistically speaking. Okay, now mostly people see the room in America midnight. So I rest my case. You may say, well, maybe yes, maybe not. But I say to you, yes, it does eliminate indirectly crime. Besides this, as you probably know, and your young audience know about it, that we do not have, and I'm very strongly about it, and I think this is message maybe for, I'm not a politician yet, but this is message for mayors of the cities, you know, across the country. You guys give young people places to express themselves, parks, trees, play footballs. You know, we don't have these places anymore. I'm trying from north to south, from south to east, or whatever, name it. It's the same issue, the same problem, you know, and it's not right, you know, because I think young person, even older person, and we all have certain tendency to express ourselves emotionally through playing football or just whatever you want to do, you know, and we don't have this kind of places, you know, and that's why, you know, people are sometimes doing drastic things, and that's the gray area what I think people should realize about the room, and I am very strongly about it, and I'm surprised the big media does not pick up this, you know, because it's true. This is the story. And move on, next question. So
no, it's all right.
I'm
it's
just
cool.
Give you a little speech here.
No, it's okay. Nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you.
No, I want you to talk too. Just jump in anytime. Well, I was saying, it's enough now.
Well, say
okay, 10 more minutes. All right, move on, next question.
Were you jilted by a woman like this in the film?
Well, let me tell you, I've been in a relationship. I will not say I was not.
Okay.
Like I will tell you very honestly, two is better than three, but three is crowd. However, you can have three friends.
Yes.
And I will tell you one thing, that there's nothing wrong when Johnny in the movie, you know, say to Danny, it's okay to love somebody else. But the same time, it's process of learning how far you can go as a person. Mm-hmm. How far you can go. Do you have to actually do something physically, or you just to say, look, I love you, man, or I love you to a girl or guy? It doesn't matter. You see, that's what the beauty in a relationship, that we understand and have respect, and how tempting it is. I've been in many situations, I don't know you guys, but we all been there, it's tempting to be very close to someone. You know, or you have certain opportunity, but then you pay for it, you know, by breaking relationships or a relationship. I believe very strongly that we've all been there. If not, I say many times that the room is a red flag. Wait a minute, why should you do when you later on you will regret it? Mm-hmm. And I don't care how strong you are, how much money you have, that's irrelevant. You know, bottom line is, you know what? Feelings you cannot buy, Matthew. And that's the irony in the room.
Well, I say, you have people, you have now hundreds and thousands of people loving you with these screenings. You talk about a place for kids to go. When you have these screenings on campus and in theaters, you know, people have said that you single-handedly brought back the Midnight movie and the cult movie.
Right.
Well, not too much pressure, I hope.
No, I love public, and I always will. The fans, that's priority for me, you know. So it's pressure, little pressure is there, but I like it.
And now, I know right after The Room you did the documentary, you co-directed the documentary Homeless in America, is that right?
Correct, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know a lot of people know The Room, but you have done other things since.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the homeless in America is a totally different topic, as you probably know about it since you asked, is dealing with the homelessness in America. And again, you see, long story short, you cannot eliminate homelessness. And now, in since you mentioned this topic, it is what it is, as you know, in America, because of the economy. Actually, I'm working on a new movie about relate to economy, and it's relate also to indirectly to homelessness. So again, this is the gray area, what people don't realize. And again, you see, some people say, oh, you know what, we can eliminate homelessness. Well, I have not for you, for you all your expert, you know, from politician to media, no, you cannot eliminate homelessness. If you look at a long time ago, let's say 200, 300 years ago, not this country, but other countries, you already have a homeless indirectly. But it was not recognized the way we recognize. But the good news is that if we learn about it, we will not have in America, which is, you know what, Matthew, it's really hurt my feelings that I see this, people actually, you know, lay down on the street in America, underneath the bridges. You know, it's sad. It is very eerie situation, but the good news is that we have a lot of dedicated people, and I wish, you know, I don't wish, but I probably would do another documentary. Like, I want to expose all the people actually doing good things for homelessness, people who never been recognized for their hard work without, you know, to help these people, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And again, you see, I'm across America, I see this, you know, I just come back from Houston, the same thing. Well, you know, people say, oh, we don't have a homeless. Well, I'm sorry, you do have, you know. Mm-hmm. But the good news, again, is that we can eliminate, we can help these people. And that's what I come from, you know. Homeless was, did this movie just to find out the truth, not because somebody told me. And what I discovered was pretty eerie, if you ask me. But the good news is we can improve with optimism and good spirit in America. Move on, next question.
What's the status on The House That Drips Blood on Alex?
Well, first of all, I was hired as an actor. Let me stress that. As well as only as an actor. Okay, I did not direct. They direct. That was Comedy Central. They aired it on TV and they put online. And, you know, they supposed to do second episode, I don't know, was pretty excited project, was paid job, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, it was good experience. They could do better, but you see, it's not me to judge. You know, some people like it, some people don't.
Well, I think what's been great is that you've been able to go from, you know, you did and I mean this as a compliment.
No problem.
I think the term melodrama gets a bad connotation, and so to go from a melodrama to documentary to horror, I mean, and just even you know, you're just acting in that, you're able to go from one genre to another.
Well, I think that's a compliment. If you ask me, you don't have to apologize, but you see, I don't call it, and again, this is your statement, melodrama. You may argue that The Room partially is melodrama based on the talking, if you analyze Johnny's character. Mm-hmm. I agree, you got me on that one. But at the same time, the reason we call black comedy, again, people don't realize black comedy leading towards melodrama.
Right.
Melodrama, as you probably know, define melodrama is based... it's more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you much more dramatic approach. But ironic story again, I will say very openly that I have some friends that they are really melodramatic, if you ask me.
We all do, Tommy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is based on my research. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I will say you know, that hopefully we have more discussion like that about with the fans as well, with you guys, with media, because Matthew, you're part of the media one way or the other.
Yep.
You know, actually, I'd like to have a program, you know, if you guys can organize it while there, we can have big discussion, you know. So it's up to you guys. But anyway, move on. Next question.
You talk about dark comedies, black comedies. What are some of your favorites?
What do you mean?
As far as are there other dark comedies like Dr. Strangelove or Harold and Maude that inspired you?
Well, you see, again, I inspire myself, but however, yeah, good point. I like, for example, if you look at not so much comedy or, you know, to me, comedy, let's put it this way, comedy, drama, melodrama, black comedy, whatever you define, I define as the colors. Colors means the more colors you have in within your project, in this case, The Room or other movies, even include The Homeless in America, as you mentioned, you will not just to provoke people, but it will be interesting to see your project or movie, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some people say, oh, this is short, this is long, whatever. But the colors for me is very important. Now, to respond to your question, I influence myself, whether I'm fond of, for example, Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Because, again, this is the manipulation of woman aspect in life if you compare it to Juliet in The Room. Now, Orson Welles, for example, Citizen Kane, Giants with James Dean and others. Why these people we watching, by my research, a lot of people watching from time to time, what is the reason? What is behind? Or is my case, The Room, we can say the same thing. What is behind? Is it that bad because it's good, or is it good, is it bad? Well, as you know, Matthew, bad is expression, also it's good
mm-hmm.
in slang in America, as you know.
Yes.
If you have two guys walking and they are close friends, they will not say, oh, this is great movie. They say, oh, this is so bad, you have to see it. And again, people, I don't understand, but, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I'm just laughing because it's laughable, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is people enjoy this film, and that's the bottom line. And we have a really great discussion like we have right now. So we have 10 more minutes. Move on, next question.
Okay. I'll say, besides the documentary about the economy, is there any scripts or that you work, feature films that you have planned?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working on vampire movie as well as Alex Blood, Vampire the Alex, as well. There'll be continuous what we did with Comedy Central, but slightly different angle. As well as I'm working currently, I'm shooting The Neighbors. We are casting currently, actually today, believe it or not. So I'm working very hard to entertain people. Hopefully people have a groovy time.
I would say, where's the as far as how far is what do you think will happen next? Which one do you think will come, or is it you know whatever comes to you first?
Well, The Neighbors actually be available within probably 2 months. We're doing 5 episodes, and The Economy water released before June. A Vampire I'm working, but at the same time, I don't know if you're aware, but we'll be releasing Blu-ray of The Room, and that'll be before Christmas, as well as. I'm working also on the 3D movie as well, 3D of The Room.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm doing the testing almost as we speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some of it because we are, I don't know if you want to hear more about it, but just one sentence about it. We are scanning from 35 millimeter print.
Right.
I'm referring to 3D of The Room.
Mm-hmm.
The Room with in 3D.
So the love, we're going to get even closer to the love scenes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So we're going to get even closer to you guys during the love scenes.
I think so.
as a director, what do you what's some of the things that you do to help out actors? I know you had a fairly young cast on The Room, but how do you approach actors from a directing standpoint? And how do you direct yourself?
Well, directing is very tough, you see. So again, I have a system of if you refer to the room, I had a system, and now I have a system as well. That you know, I'm doing ratio 1-4, and basically I believe in a rehearsal process. In The Room, we have like 6 months rehearsal before we shot The Room. But irony of the story is, but I did change the actors several times, as well the crew was changed four times. So a lot of actors, there's only one, two person who actually been with me for a long time, what you see on the big screen. But to respond to your question, I'm a very detail-oriented person, if I may say that. Yes, of course I can say that.
You just did.
But at the same time, I'm not self-centered. Let me say that, too. My system is pretty straightforward. What I can share with you if you want to hear.
Please.
Well, you record yourself, and you watch yourself, and then you try to adjust base what you see. And I believe in adjustment, you see, at the same time, but you have to, one of the gray areas, you have to eliminate your subjective approach. So you go base as a, I am as a director, I say, what is the character saying, what he or she is doing, what's the situation? So it's the last obstacle come to your brain, and you have to divide it. You cannot combine together because then you get lost. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see yourself, then you record again and say, okay, I like this scene. No, I have to improve that, okay? And when you are good actors, by the way, I never say on the records that actors are good or bad. What I'm saying, sometimes they don't give us certain, they're not sharing this. They're not giving enough. What I mean by that, they're missing the colors. Because any actors could be the best of the best. And that's why the reference to actors, some people sometimes ask me and say, can you cast this particular person because he or she make $20 million? I say, absolutely not. Because I already know that they cannot offer what I think I'm looking for. So for all of you, for all your listeners, it's not... You have to be popular, acting is sharing. That's basically my definition of good acting, if I can say good acting. But I try not to divide it good and bad as an actor because I'm not a critic. I'm just going by provocation. My job as a director to provoke people positive ways if I can. So if I do that, I do a good job as far as in my hands, in my eyes. Now, about the system, so that's basically when I shot the room, I recorded this VHS tape, and by the way, I'm still writing the book about it, the difference between the HD and 35, because we use both cameras. I know it's laughable a little bit, but you know what? The way I see it this way, the simplicity is virtue of success. What I mean by that is very interesting. Even today, after all these years, I still cannot find that something where people say, okay, this is the HD, this is 35, this is the difference. That's the money what you spend on 35, that's what you spend on HD. I still don't have that. And this is the thing what I said on DVD very openly, that Hollywood was confused. And I was confused myself. And people literally say, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Again, guys, some of you guys listening to this, and correct, please ask the question. I'll be glad to explain you what I meant by that, okay? But today, what we do, like we'll be doing, for example, The Neighbors, if I am, because I'm playing one of a Charlie character, I'll be recording myself and just watch it and analyze, okay, that's what I want, that's not what I don't want. But I have also assistant as well. So I work with two or three assistants. In the room, I have like four different assistants. So I say, you guys watch this, you give me feedback, you know what I'm saying? So it's very hard work if you refer to directing. Acting as well, it's not easy job, but it's very, I love it, you know, I like it.
I say, tell a little bit, for those who don't know what The Neighbors is, why don't you refresh them?
Yeah, let me clarify. The Neighbors, it's a sitcom, it's TV pilot. It's, again, you see, I like variety. So we go from homeless to the room, from vampire to The Neighbors. Matthew, you are good.
Thank you.
I know how be the sound, how they will listen to your audiences. The Neighbors is dealing with, again, relationship. It's a character, Charlie. You can go to the room is thenabersitcom.com, and you see the synopsis as well the characters that we are currently working on right now as we speak. Yes.
Well, I say you mentioned earlier about singing. Any plans maybe doing a musical somewhere down the line?
Actually, you know what? We actually working on the remix of their words from the lyrics from the script, and you probably hear something probably because we're working currently. Last year we did some stuff that we never published. So soon you can hear something.
I say, like you said, from stage to movies to documentaries to television, you're never bored.
No, I like variety, if you ask me. So we have two more questions. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's okay. I would say, has there been any movies out recently that you've been able to watch and enjoy recently?
Yes, but I will not tell you because then people are blogging about it. But I will tell you one thing. I give you one clue.
All right.
See, I make a laugh on you.
Okay.
That's great. I tell you one is dealing with, started in S, like a social. I am not telling you the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. Boy, you keep us hanging.
It was very easy to find out. Come on. You know about it.
Yes, yes. I say, how was it working with Tim and Eric?
That was pretty good, yeah. They're very nice people to work and very given, but sometimes we're not on the same page, but I've been working with them for four times. Let's see, one, two, three, four times, yes. And they're a very given person and people, you know. They're very creative. That's what the entertainment is about, creation.
Tommy, thank you so, so much for your time. I can't wait to see you in Bloomington on Tuesday. I'll get in touch with John, and hopefully we can meet up before or afterwards.
Yeah, no problem. And also, if you need any images, whatever, let us know, and thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Take care.
No problem. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Oh, that's amazing. Play the other one, since Carrie hasn't heard. I got two out of
him. I gotta get that.
Just a reminder, The Room, tonight and tomorrow night at midnight at Landmark Keystone Arts, and you get to see the work of that man that occupied 30 minutes of this show.
Here we go.
Hi, you listening, Film Sociology, WFYI, Indianapolis. Have a groovy time. Listen it.
That's great.
Wow.
So, yeah, you got to come out and see the show.
And also a reminder, starting...
We have programming news.
Yes, programming news. Thank you. I was just thinking. Yes.
You're not old enough to know what that means, but
that's
go
good.
On.
Programming news from the Film Sociology Programming Department.
Oh, that's a huge department. Yes. we employ dozens of people.
We have a sports department, a news department, a programming...
Music department, the kids
music.
Film department.
All of our correspondents in the field.
Yeah, that means
beer department.
That means Emma wants an office now.
Yes.
Oh.
Anyway, news from the programming department at Film Sociology. We will be repeating the show Sunday afternoons, 4:00.
Sunday afternoons at 4:00. Or if we're really bored, we'll just come in and do. Hey, what'd you watch last night?
It'll be. Hey, Cole, what are you doing? Oh, none.
Let's do the show live.
All right.
That's right. HD2 making it sound like mature college radio. We're grad students. And speaking of which, Kobe, because if you haven't learned shameless self-promotion,
yes.
Now you should. Kobe Sligo, you have some radio news.
Yes, I do have other radio news beginning tomorrow and every Saturday night at 7:00. Tune in here, HD2, for my new show, The Cool Down. It's an hour of awesome music from Brazil.
Fogo de Chao, please become an underwriter.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
We would love that.
Bring the sabers of meat. So, all right.
Steaks.
All right, so some other movie notes around town we're checking out. Of course, Thursday, October 4th. Now, he's not here. Do we have Mike Perry's intro?
Oh, the Lawrence. Hang on.
Mike Perry is not here, but I told him we would play this for him in his honor because Fathom Theaters, of course, they're the ones that show the Film Yap and Riff Tracks. I'm sorry, Riff Tracks. They do Riff Tracks and hi, Film Yap guys. Riff Tracks, and they do concerts and theater performances that you can watch in the movie theater. Well, Thursday, October 4th, they're showing the 50th anniversary of Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
talking?
Are no words to that.
Did
you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
But
that,
they won't be playing the Hollywood Nights.
Not playing the Hollywood Nights. That would rule. But no, Thursday, October 4th at AMC Showplace Indy 17, AMC Castleton Square 14, United Artists Galaxy 14, Brownsburg 8, Rave Motion Picture Metropolis 18 in Plainfield, Hamilton 16 IMAX, I believe that's Gina's official theater of choice, and the AMC Showplace Bloomington 11.
So pretty much at a theater near you.
Right. Thursday, October 4th at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Highly recommend go see it. And this is in conjunction with the Blu-ray release of Lawrence of Arabia. I got to see Lawrence of Arabia in the summer of 1989 at the just then renovated Fox Theater in downtown Detroit. Paid $10 for a ticket at that time, worth every damn penny. One of the best movie-going experiences of my life. I'm contemplating taking my child out of class.
Yes!
Okay, maybe not, because Lynn will probably hear this.
It was unbelievable!
It was. Okay, also, in today's non-nouveau, in the Indianapolis Star, Palladium, at the Center for the Performing Arts, starting November 15th, they're going to be showing movie musicals.
This is also going to be very cool.
Yes, they're going to be screening, starting November 15th, the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts will be screening The Sound of Music, White Christmas, An American in Paris, and other movies from the Great American Songbook. And this is presented by Truly Moving Pictures. So they're going to be showing White Christmas on November 15th, Sound of Music, American in Paris, sing-along version of Wizard of Oz. This is going to be going through March. The Music Man, Mary Poppins, Alexander Ragtime Band, Kiss Me Kate, Singing in the Rain, and you can go to where is it? The Palladium Center for the centerpresents.org, or you can call 843-3800 for ticket information. We have got to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's only $7.50, and concessions will be available, including popcorn. Good to know. Also, the Artcraft 90th birthday that's happening this weekend, I believe.
Tonight and tomorrow.
Okay, and the Found Footage Festival is happening at Big Car Service Center on October 3rd. If you go to The Onion or just go online and look at Found Footage Festival, it's really, really funny stuff. Just instructional DVD or instructional VHS tapes and weird cable access shows, especially like Reverend X, which we can never quote here. So we're going to move on. Next question. I want to bring this up before we get to Dead People We Like. And Carrie,
hi.
The other reason why you're here, besides the fact that we love having you here, you and the gang over at Upland have a movie event on Sunday afternoon.
Yes, we do. We are going to be showing His Girl Friday.
Yeah.
Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant and Ralph Bellamy.
Yeah, and it's $10, which includes a complimentary beverage of your choice. And then, so it starts at noon on Sunday. You have to be there by 11:45 because they will lock the doors. Mostly just because we've got limited space and everything like
and
that.
And it's a state law.
And it's a state law, too. Yeah. So, yeah, come on out. His Girl Friday, we've got a small little screen that we're showing in the back, and have some good local beer and see a great movie.
And if this works out well, this will hopefully lead to more future.
We hope so. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, everybody's got to have something to do on a Sunday afternoon that isn't football. So
see, there
favorite
you go.
Thing on tap right now.
That would be the Oktoberfest. Mm. It's delicious.
The pumpkin of beers. So dig in.
Yeah, very delicious. It's our seasonal right now. Almost done. We're going to have another seasonal coming out here in about 2 weeks. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Well, we'll have to go check that out now, won't we?
Yeah.
Now, I've been,
we should do a remote there.
Oh, we should do a remote on a Friday night. Oh, boy. That has been brought up.
The list of places we would like to do remotes.
And the list of places they don't want us to do remotes. I want to bring this up because, it's been a month now since the article came out. And now that, the most important movie of the summer came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, that would be The Avengers. The New York Times had a really cool article about, and it's resort towns face a last picture show. And it's one of the things they talk about is the boardwalk movie theaters. And this was in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, Ocean City, New Jersey. Now, it wasn't a boardwalk theater, but there were three movie theaters on Long Beach Island, New Jersey, which is north of Atlantic City, where I got to spend my summers. And a lot of these theaters are hitting tough times because they can't afford to go digital. And I think of this as the kind of the seaside equivalent of the drive-in movie. Does it need to be digital? I don't think so. Just like, does a drive-in need to be digital? I don't know if it's that. It's more the event, more of the environment is not just completely devoted to the movie experience itself. So it's just very nostalgic. And it was funny because we were talking about Jaws last week and the fact that I bought it on Blu-ray. And I saw Jaws on Long Beach Island in a movie theater, and then went to the beach next day and had the bejesus scared out of me. So,
my personal feeling with that is just, if it's something that is not heavy on special effects or graphics, anything like that,
but
it doesn't seem like it's necessary.
So we're from the 70s.
Shut up.
I was born in the 70s too, right?
I was not.
Shut up.
But
here's the thing. In the photo, there's the Strand 5 in Ocean City, New Jersey, and they're showing, Ted, Step Up, Dark Knight, and Total Recall. So those are all kind of effects-driven, don't you ever quote Ted. Kobe, you're not allowed to. And I know, because I know what part you're thinking of. So
I've not seen it. Is it worth seeing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very fun. You Seth MacFarlane fan?
Yes.
Well, then you should.
I watch a lot of Family Guy.
Okay, then you'll
appreciate this. A lot
of
Family Guy.
Okay, let's get to, do we have dead people we like?
Doing our, the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like. Yeah.
And this week, we salute Herbert Lom. Now, if you don't know him, and you really should, he played Inspector Dreyfus in the Pink Panther series. See, that's why we give these. So we raise a glass and a twitchy eye.
That guy.
That's right. Started out in, first thing I noticed him in 1950s, Night in the City with Richard Widmark, who was played Napoleon in War and Peace. Did I Accuse, appeared in Spartacus, El Cid, the 1962 version of Phantom of the Opera, and, of course, most of the Pink Panther movies. And then also Villa Rides, Gambit. He played Van Helsing in the 1970 version of Count Dracula, Murders in the Rue Morgue. And now The Screaming Scars, a lot of horror, Hammer horror movies, Lady Vanishes, Hopscotch, Dead Zone, King Solomon's Mines, and much, much more. So we thank Herbert Lom for all of his work. And now we go into the archives quickly because this is a time where you can order a movie online from the studio itself. You can't buy it in stores, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
In this case, it's 15. But I have a double feature. This doesn't happen very often. We talked about Clint Eastwood last week. I have not one, but two films. One's called Operation CIA, and the other is called Impasse. Operation CIA from 1965, Impasse from 1969. Both films shot overseas in Asia, both starring a young Burt Reynolds. This is pre-Deliverance. Operation CIA, he is a CIA agent that's trying to thwart an assassination attempt in Vietnam. In Impasse, he plays a guy, a rogue, who is gearing up a team of misfits to find some lost World War II gold in the Philippines. And also starred Anne Francis, for you fans of, Mike Perry. So it's fun to see the early Burt Reynolds swagger before Deliverance. All right, here's some words to live by. You don't have it?
No, I had him, but...
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Both films also featured Vic Diaz, who apparently was the Filipino version of Peter Lorre. He was the guy in the Big Bird Cage. He was the warden in that, Big Bird Cage, and Black Mama, White Mama.
Not seeing Black Mama, White Mama.
You're a Pam Grier fan. You haven't seen that film
yet?
Nope. Got to work on that.
I know.
Where are we going to get to? What is Kobe watching? Fool.
You know what? I will watch something this coming week.
You better.
I will.
Carrie, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. It's great as usual.
Sunday afternoon, Upland Brewery at 11:45.
Upland Tasting Room, 49th and College.
All right. See you at The Room tonight at midnight, or be there tomorrow at midnight. Go see a good movie or The Room. Why not? You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film show, talk show, WFYI HD2 The Point, and WFYI.org. Go Lions.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers.